You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder and chief automation officer of Automation Bridge, where we focus on turning digital marketing professionals into automation service providers by teaching them marketing and sales automation. And if you'd like to become one or find out if you should become one, an automation service provider, that is, we've got a new quiz, a brief quiz that takes less than 2 minutes, and it will tell you exactly that. You can find that at automationbridge.com/ASP. If you're new to the podcast, make sure you listen to this episode in its entirety so you know the value, the gem of knowledge that you'll be receiving every Thursday when we release a new episode. At the time of recording, the All Systems Go podcast is free to subscribe to. And you can find the show in all main podcasting apps like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can even subscribe on YouTube. So once you've listened to this episode in its entirety, make sure that you subscribe. For those of you who are listeners and just haven't subscribed yet for whatever reason, what are you waiting for? Now is the time. Now is the time. While you're at it, a 5-star rating and review is greatly appreciated. It helps vet the All Systems Go podcast as the podcast to listen to subscribe to get the exclusive and specialized knowledge on marketing automation. So you can leave a review in any of those podcasting apps, or if you would like for us to post a review for you, you can go to automationbridge.com/review. In this episode, I interview Josh Metcalf Parsons. JMP is what he's called. And he's a marketing technology life cycle marketer who's been playing the game of customer experience for a while. He discovered marketing automation about 6 years ago, totally fell in love with the way that it intersects the puzzle of tech and the puzzle of humans. So we get to talk about how Josh took those puzzle pieces and implemented them to generate high results, big results with email marketing. So this is another episode that's going to break it down and help you understand the do's, the don'ts, the exact process to generate results with automating your email marketing. Enjoy the show. Josh, welcome to the podcast, man. Glad to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Chris. I'm doing good. It's a pleasure to be here, man. I'm excited to hang out.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? It's always great to have marketers on the All Systems Go podcast because we can literally nerd out about marketing. And specifically today, it's like a great case study. I feel like the case study that we're about to go through, every business would want these numbers. Right. Every business would like, if I could just get that level of performance from my marketing. So I'm looking forward to it. But before I get ahead of myself, introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us about yourself, your background, and your business.
Yeah, man, I'd be happy to. So my name's Josh. Everyone calls me JMP. It's a nickname that has been sticking with me for about 10 years now, about as long as I've been in the marketing automation game. Started in a small business in Western Australia, learned it there, got introduced to Infusionsoft and really fell in love with the whole concept and philosophy of marketing automation. And, you know, from there, I've just been lucky to move and go to places which have a mission that I'm aligned with and to do the, you know, I like to say like do the work, doing the work of marketing automation, doing the work of customer experience. And I find myself now with The Room, which is a company that's a part of the African Leadership Group. And we're focused on increasing employment across the continent of Africa, you know, championing entrepreneurship on the continent of Africa. And so I'm there working with them doing marketing automation.
Wow, man. Now that's a noble cause, and it seems like a big vision, like really, you know, really it big is. Vision. What just I'm interested, quick tangent, but what types of marketing are involved with that? Are you and is email marketing look different in other countries with respect to how it takes place here in the US or even in Australia?
Yeah, it's very different. It's surprisingly different. And, you know, when I got to Africa and we started this project a couple of years ago, we weren't sure what to expect, but a lot of people had said, yeah, digital marketing is not a thing on the continent, you know, and they said, you're going to struggle. And we got started and, you know, we were seeing numbers that we couldn't believe, like open rates in the 40s, 50%, you know, click rates that were just off the charts. And I don't know if there's a digital marketing renaissance happening on the continent of Africa at the moment. Mm-hmm. There's been this sort of tipping point there, but people are very responsive to it. And the other thing is, like, it's not, you ask, you know, how is it different there? It's different, but it's also very much the same because wherever you are, I'm looking for ways there to just communicate with the people there that we need to communicate with in a way that works for them. So a good example of that is we use a lot of WhatsApp there because, you know, WhatsApp, we know WhatsApp's big, we know it's powerful, but in Africa particularly, data, mobile data is very expensive, like unbelievably expensive. But a lot of the mobile data providers have partnerships with WhatsApp, so WhatsApp is free. Doesn't count to your data use.
I see.
So if you can tap into WhatsApp and you can contact your prospects or your leads through WhatsApp, you're getting to them in a way that there isn't a price tag associated with them accessing your content. And so we've had to adapt to that and learn how to market on the continent when things that I had never thought about, like, well, how much does it cost in data per image that's in my email?
Yeah.
But that's a thing that's affecting my email rates there.
Yep. Man, I love it. And it does. It speaks to the ever evolving nature of marketing, right? Mm-hmm. Like I find, and we've got something special at the end to really dive into this, but I find that the marketers that complain the most are the most laziest. They're the ones that have they've got one way of success and they don't want anything to change. It's like, this is my proven path. And any mature marketer knows, listen, use what you can while you can, but expect it to change or expect an opportunity to come that requires something different. Like, you've got to be nimble. You've got to be able to make those adjustments on the fly and go with, you know, wherever the marketing wind blows, whichever direction it goes. So, I want to shift real quick and jump into the case study today that really caught my eye, and I just loved reading it. So I know I'm going to enjoy even more just hearing you talk about it. But it was, you were talking about how you grew a list and maximized its deliverability, and you increase the placement rate. So I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it, everybody, just how it came into me so you all can be excited. And then Josh is going to jump into it. He says how he maximized deliverability. He recently grew a list from 0 to 340,000 in 5 months with a 70% double opt-in rate and a 99% inbox placement rate. So huge, huge numbers there. Walk us through what was the context in which you, we'll start at lead generation. What was the context? What was the type of business? What was the offering? And what was the strategy that you used?
Yeah. So for us, that lead generation number, you know, a lot of that was driven by social. A lot of that was driven by like smart targeting, good segmentation. And it was around a product that was a software engineering program specifically targeted at young, under or unemployed African youth who are looking for that next opportunity and a way to get into that future-proof career.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Undeniably, we're at this nexus point in the world where things like software engineering represent massive opportunity for people.
Yes.
You know, we're in a remote first world now where, you know, the African talent, we talk about this brain drain where it's like the some of the best African talent is leaving the continent.
Mm.
And now we're in a place with remote first where that doesn't have to happen.
Mm.
They can stay there and they can access that global opportunity. So that lead generation was a beautiful combination of circumstance and targeting and having an offer that was really compelling for people and spending the time dialing it in. You know, we went with classic old school long form landing page. Mm-hmm. You know, it just just kept on going and and we paid attention to it. You know, we let it do its thing and we optimized, you know, had some great partners there with, you know, with the team helping us with the Facebook ad buying, that kind of stuff. You know, obviously credit to those guys. But I think it was just that combination, man. It was that combination of things.
Yeah. And it can't be overlooked. I recorded a podcast and it talked about like the traps of targeting the wrong audience, right? Like people come out in marketing and think, oh my gosh, everybody could use this. Like you could have easily went and said, it's software. Wait a minute. Not just in Africa, the world. Everybody needs, right? And as you open up to everybody, you would have seen your numbers just astronomically tank because you've got to be niched in the sense where one of the things that you said is I was aware of where we were at as a society. This is remote. And you were also aware of what was going on specific to that demographic, that geographic location. Wait a minute. I've got brain drain. People are leaving. But this shift in the society has provided an opportunity where they don't have to leave. So you had to be in tune with the fact that they were leaving and why to even know that this would be an appealing opportunity. And I think those are things, the reason why I'm highlighting them is because I think business owners and then people who have like shiny object syndrome and they just look at the number 340,000, they skip over all those details. Mm-hmm. But all of those details help you better inform your ads team on exactly who to put the offer in front of.
Exactly. And I know the listeners are like, man, get to the details. How did you do it? But I'm going to throw another tangent in there, which is you can be an amazing marketer.
Mm-hmm.
You can know all the automation platforms. You can know all of the tactics and the tools. You got to know your customer.
There you go.
That's the thing, man. Like, learn who your customer is, understand where they're at, understand where they're, you know, where they're getting your message. Marketing is just that combination of message and mechanics.
Mm.
And so you've got to know the customer. All of the shiny object, marketing tactic, new thing, just know your customer. Know who your customer is. Yeah. That's how you market to them.
Yeah, it you know, it's the fundamentals of marketing, right? Know your customer and make them like you, right? Yep. Know your customer, be known by your customer and make them like you. Like if you do these things consistently, they will work better than any tactic, any trick, any software, like anything that you can try to do to get a quick result. And I think that a lot of business owners and marketers need to understand that the second you say, I'm ready to start generating leads, you're also saying, I am a researcher, right? I am going to research who my customer is, not today, every day, because I'm always collecting data based on what they say, because our messaging can never be perfect. Life is too dynamic. So your audience of today, you know, something happens in their environment, in your environment, whatever the case is, it gives you new stuff to talk about. right? Yep. And new angles. Copy is all about angles, right? Oh, we've got 10 different angles. Let's try these and see which one sticks for this particular audience. But you have to, right? You have to know your customer. And for our listeners who are like, okay, know your customer, but how? How do I know my customer? What are some of the strategies that you use, Josh, in your market research and your avatar definition?
For us, Chris, it's a case of, you know, when I say know the customer,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you use that term avatar, we leaned really heavily on the idea of like the best avatar is a real customer.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out and we had some assumptions, we had yep. some beliefs, we knew that we were targeting a particular age demographic. We knew we were targeting a particular employment demographic. We had some core fundamental things. And as soon as that ball got rolling, we immediately said, well, all right, well, now let's talk to them.
Mm.
And we would email people. We would say, hey, 50 of you, just come talk to us for an hour. We just want to get to know you.
Love it.
And we just kept doing that, kept getting to know them better and better and better and humanizing each one of those numbers, each one of those 340,000. Yeah. It's like know who that person is as much as possible and then talk to them. Mm. And it was constant adapting, constant yeah. conversations with the customer, yeah. constant adjustment. And the more you do that, the more you dial it in.
Absolutely. It's like you it's okay to start with the assumptions. Don't finish there, right? Mm. Don't end there. End with knowing. How do I go from assumption to knowing? Talk. Use your mouth and talk. And I think that, again, it becomes a lost art and almost like, oh, no, I'm a digital marketer. I don't talk to people. I build landing pages and sales pages that do all my talking. And it's like, you know what? This is the equivalent to just old school, traditional guerrilla marketing. We're knocking on doors, handing out flyers. Get on the phone with your customer. Always. Josh, I've always done it and I still do it. You know, if I have somebody that goes through one of my courses or one of my programs and I see, you know, because I track everything, right? And I see something that's interesting, whether it be positive or negative, it doesn't matter to me. I'll send them, hey, can we jump on a quick call and talk about that? And then I get on the call. I have some assumptions. I have some data, but let me let you fill in the gaps and really frame this story and talk to them. And you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at the kind of information that people give you and the amount of assumptions that you continue to make, right? Yep. Like in the absence of knowing, assumptions are always present. They're just there waiting. Hey, you don't know anything? Take me. I'm an assumption. I'll keep you company. And we get real comfortable with that until we challenge it. And I think that that's a perfect answer for knowing your customer. Talk to them. Yep. I can't. You know, one could say the marketer in you never turns off because I feel like I'm always collecting data, right? I'm always crafting conversations in a way where I can learn something. Sometimes it's for my own business. And sometimes I'm just exploring like, I wonder what a stay-at-home dad that drops his son off at the bus stop every day, what are some of his pains? Right. Yep. What are some of his aspirations and dreams? Like, I'm yep. just curious. Maybe it becomes a future avatar. Maybe I have a product that I run across or a business that I can refer. So I feel like my marketer hat is always on. And also, I wanted to go back real quick before we get into like the double opt-in rate and everything. To something you said prior to is you use WhatsApp. You yep. realize that there was a different channel, a different means of communication that was more effective reaching your audience. So while email is not dead, email continues to be the most profitable channel for marketing online, you still cannot ignore channels that may work better for your audience and what you're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see that WhatsApp is actually, there's more and more integrations coming out for WhatsApp. And I think that it's this international acknowledgement that, hey, look, everybody's not in America. Everybody's not in, you know, UK or Australia where email is common. There are India You know, yep. I know a lot of people in India. I know a lot of people in Asia, just a various continents and countries across the world that use WhatsApp as the primary means of communication. So, again, being able to be nimble and make that adjustment. So now you've got a niched market. You've got a product specifically for them. You've got on the phone. You talk to the customer, got more information to feed to the ads team. Hey, look, this is who we need to target, right? They're targeting, they're coming in, leads are pouring in. You've got double opt-in. Walk us through the decision to do double opt-in and not do single opt-in.
Yeah. And I'll tell you a funny story about a little snippet about that WhatsApp strategy. We were like, we got to use WhatsApp. And we were like, WhatsApp integrations, it's going to take us a bit of time to get this thing going, but we got to use it. Mm-hmm. So we just had a guy with a WhatsApp account. That was our WhatsApp automation strategy. His name was Felix. And it was like, we put that number out there. We were like, hey, you need support via WhatsApp? Text Felix. He'll take care of you.
Oh, man. I love it. I love it. So scrappy, Josh. So scrappy, man. I love it.
Yeah. Why the decision to go double opt-in rather than single opt-in? Mm-hmm. We knew the speed with which that we wanted to grow this list. And and we had some real lofty targets. And we looked at those targets and we understood the trap of poor deliverability. And we were real fortunate to be in a place where we were, you know, a lot of people would be intimidated by starting from zero. Coming to a company, zero. That was a blessing for us, because we had a chance to start from zero and build it from the ground up with that kind of intentionality.
So
a lot of it was, we need to keep that deliverability up. We need to keep that placement rate up. We know how effective double opt-in is. We know the impact that it has. And honest answer as well, I can't help but chase a challenge. And somebody said to me, well, you know, it's really hard to get double opt-in on the continent of Africa. They just, the consumer doesn't do it.
Wow.
And I went, well, that sounds like a challenge to me.
Challenge.
But the honest answer is we knew how important it was going to be. And so much of marketing automation in general is flexing that muscle, growing that muscle to throw your brain into the future of your customer's experience, into the future of your business, and go, what's going to happen? What do we need to happen? What's the outcome we're driving towards? What are the, you know, think about the data strategy that goes with marketing automation. What are the questions we're going to want to answer in 6 or 12 months' time? And what do we do today to set ourselves up for that? We knew that with double opt-in. It's like, we know that this could be a thing if we don't address it today. So let's make sure we address it right away. And then we put the system in place to do that.
I love it, man. So I'm going to play immature marketers devil's advocate. Okay. I'm going to say, but Josh, what about all those people who put in their email and didn't click the link? Are you just going to throw them away? You're losing leads.
Well, if someone gave you their email and then didn't open the first email and didn't click the link, firstly, take a beat to think about the value of that person, because that value of that lead, I should say, as a person, of course, they have value, but their value to you as a lead and a prospect, they're not opening that first email. I'm not saying throw them out, but consider that in the makeup of the audience that you have, because you're paying for those contacts.
There it is.
There's a price tag there.
Yep.
And then we didn't throw them out. We could market to people who weren't double opted in.
Okay.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
Because they had still given us their email address. They had requested that marketing.
Right.
And we were making the point to follow up, to chase that double opted in status.
Yep.
And to get that to the biggest percentage that we possibly could. And then we very carefully segmented those audiences.
Yeah.
Because the non-double opt-in, they're the trap, you know?
Yes.
The trap is the wrong word. They're the risk. And then the long game for us on that was get the double opt-in right up front and then pay really close attention to your engagement rate.
And yes.
And I say, like, well, we didn't throw out those people who didn't open that first email, didn't click on that first link. We were merciless with throwing away people who aren't engaged. Yep. Like we were cutthroat on that one.
Yeah.
Because that's where it makes a difference.
Yeah. And I think you have to be, again, in one of the previous episodes, I talked about people's aversion to saying no, right? They're mm-hmm. just, they don't want to say no, especially in marketing. It's like no means money's flying away. And it's like, no, that's not what it means. No means I know exactly what I need to do to generate what I want. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to waste anybody else's time or resources if you're not conducive to that. So I think, you know, when you look at double opt-in, there's no way I would run any level of campaign, any level of lead generation without some gating, right? Mm-hmm. That's what double opt-in is, right? It's like, it's your early, so you've got your first segmentation point is lead generation, and perhaps you're asking more than just name and email, and you could segment there, right? Preferable as early as possible. But then second is, listen, let's see if they are who they say they are. I want this thing. Well, if you want it, click the link and show me that you want it. Here's the thing, Josh, as much as people talk about email is dead and people aren't checking email anymore, if it's something I want as a marketer, Josh, if it's something that I want, not only am I going to put my email address in, I'm going to my email to click the link.
Yep.
If I really want it, I'm going to click the link, man.
And if it's something you still want, you're going to keep reading those emails. I don't know how many years I've been subscribed to The Hustle, but I read their email every day. Every day of the week, I read that email.
Right.
And if I didn't want it, I would stop reading it.
Yep. Yep.
You know, your customers will tell you.
Yeah, it's part of it. I think the challenge is this. It's not about, and I had Robin Kennedy on the podcast, and they talked about emailing daily, right? Mm-hmm. And you talk about all these different strategies with email and just marketing in general. When you boil it down to its core fundamentals, it's the consistent delivery of value. If it's valuable, I'm going to read it. I'm mm-hmm. going to open it. Everything may not be valuable to me. So maybe three out of five emails, maybe three of them pertain to me and two don't. That's mm-hmm. fine. I'm not going to unsubscribe just because two didn't appeal to me, right? Like I'm still going to be opening. I'm still going to be engaging. So when people get distraught, oh, email's not working or XYZ, I think you really have to check the value, right? Yep. Check the value of what you're sending. And it goes back to your point, Rob. I mean, Josh, it goes back.
I'll take the compliment.
Right. It goes back to your point saying, talk to your customer.
Yep.
Talk somewhere. It's not a, let me say this. It's almost like people think that a conversation or a fit for now is always true or a fit for later. We never know the duration or the expiration of that fit, of the validity of what that customer said. We can just take it for now, but we've got to always check in to see, hey, did something change? Hey, wait a minute. You know, did something change? So for you, it's sounding like super targeted, super segmented on the front end. Then we've got the security of the double opt-in that is allowing us another layer of segmentation, not just saying, hey, since you didn't click the link, throwing you away. They had other opportunities to engage, but if they didn't engage, then they're off. Now we've got a super high opt-in rate for 340,000 leads. 70% double opt-in is great. By the way, listeners, take that. Okay. If you are listening like why is it so low? No, 70% is not low. 340,000 contacts opted. And that's the result of the 70%. So listen, that's a great opt-in. That's a great double opt-in rate. And so would you say that that is what led that double opt-in and then segmenting the engaged from non-engaged, is that what led to your 99% inbox placement rate, or was there some other things that you guys did?
Well, firstly, I think it might be worth explaining for a moment what that concept of the inbox placement rate is, because yeah, it is, definitely. It's one of those hidden metrics that a lot of marketers, well, maybe I shouldn't say a lot, a decent chunk of marketers, they don't talk about it because it's not front and center. It's not on your dashboards. And
yeah,
so inbox placement rate is the percentage of the emails that you send that are landing in your customer's inbox.
Yep.
So they are getting the, they are getting there. They are getting the chance to be opened. Everyone thinks about open rate. Mm-hmm. Inbox placement rate will dictate your open rate, because if people aren't getting your email, if Gmail's decided that your emails are no good, because that's their job. Their job is to create a great inbox experience for their customers.
Yep.
And if they decide that your emails are not a great experience for their customers, hey, they got customers to look after.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get your emails into the inbox. That's what your inbox placement rate is.
Yep.
And the double opt-in, big part of it.
Yep.
Careful segmentation, a big part of it.
Mm.
Merciless cutting of the unengaged. You know, but we were running like a 30-day unengaged cut.
Yeah.
Most people run 90 or 60. We were like, 30 days, done. And the reason we ran 30 days is because of something that you said too, which was just an avalanche of value. Like we were not afraid to email people.
Yep. Yep.
And we always made sure we were emailing people. And we had, we built in these sort of loops and cycles. And we were working on a single conversion event.
Mm.
You know, we had one program that we were driving people to start our application. So it's not like we were cycling people through different products. We had the one thing we were driving to. And if they express to us through their behavior, and it's what people don't do that tells you the most.
Yeah.
If they told us that they weren't ready to apply for the thing today, it's like, cool, hey, you gave us your email. You said you were interested in this thing. You didn't apply. Well, what can I draw from that? You're interested, but you're not ready yet. But I'm not going to stop emailing you. Mm-hmm. Let me help you along this journey. And the journey is people need to know what they need to know, to believe what they need to believe, to do what they need to do.
Yeah.
So where are they in that cycle? I'll say that again. They need to know what they need to know, to believe what they need to believe, to do what they need to do.
Yeah.
So if they don't do what they need to do, what don't they believe or what don't they know? And how do you help move them to the next step?
Yeah, that's big, man. That's so big.
We focused on delivering that value. We focused on delivering that engagement. We focused on helping to lift them to that place. And we experimented. One of the things that was one of our standout series, we called it the Video Games of Life. It started out as this two-page article that a member of our team put together. She's a budding young entrepreneurial marketer. She's just discovering that passion, that fire for it. She wrote this thing up about video games as an analogy for, you know, the struggle of life and of moving through those early, late teens, early 20s. And we were like, this should be 5 emails. And then it became 14 emails with videos and audio versions of the emails. And nowhere in it does it sell anything. But it hit a note for our customer that they resonated with. They resonated with her. We put her name on it. And that became a pillar of the strategy of engaging the customer at a time when they weren't ready to be sold to.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have found out if we hadn't tried.
Love it. Love it. It's the question is, can you deliver value beyond pitching your product? Right? Like, is all of your value tied to you trying to ask somebody to give you money? As long as it's pitching a product, hey, let's run this email sequence. Let's run this campaign. But then you say, hey, what about other value? What about more indirect value? What does that look like? And then it's like, listen to newsletter. Like, no. Let's not just go with like this templated approach. Mm-hmm. What other value can you send? How well do you know who you're emailing? Right. Mm-hmm. So by the way, listeners, if you weren't taking notes, I think you missed. Maybe we need to do a better job with explaining how powerful everything that Josh just mentioned was. But these are the keys. I'm telling you, you can replicate everything that Josh said in your business, in your client's business. I guarantee these steps will produce high rates. They'll mm-hmm. produce really high rates of success in email. But in closing, I did not want to not mention this, Josh. Okay. Now, as of right now, as of recording this podcast, Apple's Armageddon Part 2 is on its way. They came after Facebook's Pixel and said, hey, we're allowing all iPhone users to opt out of this. And I just saw a graphic that said like 97% of iPhone users have chosen to opt out of Facebook tracking, right? So it's a thing. Okay, got it. Now they're like, well, we're going to take our privacy and security to the next level and we're going to stop tracking opens. How about that? And you hear so many people, well, if email wasn't dead, it's dead now. Oh no, you won't be able to engagement, kiss it goodbye. In your experience, Josh, from where you're sitting right now, this is pre-Armageddon, Apple Armageddon Part 2, right? What would you say to somebody who is subscribing to the mindset of worry, fear, and frustration with the looming update that Apple has?
Well, Chris, the first thing I would probably ask them is take a look how many people are using Apple Mail on your list. Because I don't know right. about you, man, but it is a small percentage of mine.
Right.
So that's the first thing I would say, just to settle some nerves a little bit, right? Yeah. Now, that aside, I don't know how many times I've been told email is dead.
Right.
Like, something is killing email every other week. And
right.
You adapt, man. Like, yeah, you adapt and you change. People aren't going to stop reading your emails. Just because you don't know that a small segment of them opened the email, people aren't going to stop reading your emails. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. like I mentioned up the top, you know, you adapt and sometimes you don't realize that you have to adapt and it catches you by surprise. I never thought that I would be doing the maths on the file size of an image in an email because of the cost of mobile data for my contacts was so high that I was putting mm-hmm. a price tag on every email I was sending.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you find that out, you adapt. And you keep going. And that's what email is not dead.
Yeah.
Because people still want to communicate. People still want things that will help them. People still want to feel understood. People still want to feel like you know them. And if you've got a thing that is of value to people, they're gonna respond. And
yep.
and look for different tactics. Hey, if you're asking yourself, well, cool, Josh, but if you can't track with perfect accuracy your email open rates, which by the way, none of us can, mm-hmm. even right now, you can't track them perfectly, yep. you yep. know? But if you can't do that, how are you going to make sure that you keep your deliverability up?
Right.
Find other ways. Make sure you send emails that people reply to. It's one yep. of the best things that we did. Write emails that people respond to.
Mm.
Because love it, man. Deliverability loves that. So you do something yep. else.
Yep. And you know, I'll add to it. I didn't think of it until you said what you said. But you know, I used to work in corporate. And we had Microsoft Outlook and there was nothing getting through Outlook. Like the firewalls that they had in place. I mean, I couldn't render any at the time I was trying to opt into Pat Flynn's blog because I'm trying to learn this online marketing stuff. And I could not get anything. If it did come through, it was all stripped and you couldn't follow like what it initially was supposed to be. So I would read all of my emails on my phone. You know, I just have my mobile phone and I would read my emails there. But to your point, the adaptation happens on both sides. As a user, I'm going to adapt and be like, okay, well, I don't like this experience in this mail browser. I can't get the value that I'm looking for. So the user will adapt. And then the owner, the business owner should adapt. And we're always adapting. And what are we adapting for? Because it's this revolution around value. We're just trying to figure out, how do I get closer to value? I want the value, so I just need to change my position. So as the creator and deliverer of value, that's where we spend most of our time. Let me just make sure when I say something, when I send something, when I do something, it's of value. Because that is what will cause my user to adapt and come find that value, whatever they need to do on their end, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, and if you're spending energy worrying about Apple killing email, take that energy, spend it writing a really cool email.
Mm.
Write some killer content. That's what I would say.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you can't, you know, when you focus on 100%, you're focusing on the wrong number, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing is ever 100%. Nobody has a list that everybody that opted in opened something. So just get 100% out of your mind. Focus on the people who are giving you energy, who are engaging with you. Don't get so, oh man, only 40% of people are opening my emails. Keep marketing to those 40%. Like, what are you doing, right? Don't look at that 60% and get distraught. You have 40% of people that are saying, yes, keep sending what you're sending. I'm going to read it. You know, so this was great, Josh, man. Again, it's always good to have marketers come on and especially talking about email marketing. I love talking about the topic. So if people want to find out more about you, stay connected with you, follow you, support what you're doing, what's the best, where's the best place they can go to find you?
I tell you what, Chris, I'm very lucky to be working in and with a company where I am doing the work. Doing that good work. And the unfortunate side effect of that is I don't really have a lot of presence that I'm putting out there. I tell you what, people, if they want to search me on LinkedIn, go right ahead. I'll happily share that link there. But I think what I would tell people in this slot is go today, write a cool email. Yeah. Even if it's just for you.
I think that's really important and extremely valuable, man. So appreciate it. Josh, we'll put the link to your LinkedIn below. And again, if you guys want to catch up with Josh, see what he's up to, the company that he's working with, all of that will be in his LinkedIn profile. So Josh, again, man, thanks for coming on to the podcast.
Thanks very much, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
Yep. See you online, man.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the All Systems Go podcast. And I want you to think about that email marketer in your life that needed to hear this. And I'm not talking about the beginner. I'm talking about the marketer that's maybe perhaps been marketing for a while, because it is so refreshing to hear some of the fundamentals. Some of the most complex thing is getting results with email marketing, and to hear it broken down into some of the more common marketing elements of get people to like you, to know you, send them emails, right? Segment, pay attention to your audience, know your audience. All of these things are important before you hit send. So it was refreshing to hear Josh talk about it. Joshua talk about it, and even more so beyond just the United States. I'm in the U.S., so domestic email marketing is the thing. But these same principles apply when you leave this country. And it was great to see that as a reminder. So make sure you share this. Share this with that person that you know is sending email, that you know is doing email marketing. And if you found value in today's episode and are not subscribed, this is the time to subscribe.
and share the podcast. While you're at it, leave that 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. It's greatly appreciated. Here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated to training digital marketing professionals to become automation service providers. Those are digital marketers that understand how to build automated marketing and sales systems for small businesses who are in dire need of a systematic, consistent way of executing their marketing and sales. These digital marketers we call automation service providers understand that marketing strategy must be married with the proper technology to build the exact automated system for your business. And that's what we specialize in training. That's who we specialize in creating. And what we've done is we've made it easy for you to get access to any and everything that you need. If you go to allsystemsgopodcast.com, you'll get access to the latest episodes, our Amplify My Automation package. This is our proprietary curriculum on how to put automated marketing and sales systems in your business over the next 6 months. Our free Facebook group, you can request or refer someone to be a guest for the podcast. And any resource or training mentioned on the podcast, one URL to remember, gets you access to it all. And that's allsystemsgopodcast.com. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. And until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.